in the end. At the edge of the clearing, perhaps. Or by the plot of his tiny garden. Or on the north-facing side of the cottage, in a patch of sun. Te Rau Taufari came closer, into the phantom chamber, to the foot of the phantom bed. A wave of guilt overcame him. Ought he to confess to the chaplain, after all, that he, Taufari, had led Crosby to his death? Yes, he would make his confession, and Devlin would pray for him as though for a Christian man. Taufari squatted down upon his haunches, placed a careful palm over the wet earth that covered Crosby's heart, and held it there.
"Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning," Devlin said.
"Fatung haro ngaro hitangata toito he fenua."
"May the Lord keep him. May the Lord keep us, as we pray for him."
Taufari's palm had made an indentation in the soil. Seeing this, he lifted his hand a little, and with his fingertips, smoothed the print away. At the West Coast Times office on Weld Street, Benjamin Löwenthal's Shabbat was just coming to an end. Charlie Frost found him sitting at his kitchen table finishing his supper. Löwenthal was rather less pleased to see Frost than he had been to see Thomas Balfour early that afternoon, for he guessed, rightly, that Frost was come to speak about the estate of Crosby Wells, a subject of which he had long since tired. He welcomed Frost into his kitchen courteously, however, and invited the young banker to take a seat. Frost, for his part, did not apologize for interrupting Löwenthal's devotions, for he was not worldly, and he did not know them to be devotions. He sat down at the ink-stained table, thinking it very strange that Löwenthal had cooked himself such an elaborate supper only to partake of it alone. The candle he took for an eccentricity. He glanced at it only once.
"It's about the estate," he said.
Löwenthal sighed.
"Bad news, then," he said. "I might have guessed it."
Frost gave a brief summary of what had transpired in Chinatown that afternoon, describing Mannering's former grievances with Ah Kui in some detail.
"Where is the bad news?" Löwenthal said when he was done.
"I'm afraid your name came up," said Frost, speaking delicately.
"In what context?"
"It was suggested,"
even more delicately,
"that perhaps this fellow Lauderback used you as a pawn on the night of the 14th. In coming straight to you, I mean, on the night of the hermit's death, and telling you all about it. Maybe, just possibly, he came to you by some sort of design."
"That's absurd," Löwenthal said. "How was Lauderback to know that I'd go straight to Edgar Clinch? I certainly never mentioned Edgar's name to him, and he said nothing out of the ordinary to me."
Frost spread his hands.
"Well, we're making a list of suspects, that's all, and Mr. Lauderback is on that list."
"Who else is on your list?"
"A man named Francis Carver."
"Ah," said Löwenthal. "Who else?"
"The widow Wells, of course."
"Of course. Who else?"
"Miss Wetherall," said Frost, "and Mr. Staines."
Löwenthal's face was inscrutable.
"A broad taxonomy," he said.
"Continue."
Frost explained that a small group of men were meeting at the Crown Hotel after nightfall in order to pool their information and discuss the matter at length. The group was to include every man who had been present in Kui Long's hut that afternoon, Edgar Clinch, the purchaser of Wells' estate, and Joseph Pritchard, whose laudanum had been found in the hermit's cottage following the event of Wells' death. Harold Nielsen had vouched for Pritchard's character. He, Frost, had vouched for Clinch.
"You vouched for Clinch," said Löwenthal.
Frost confirmed this, and added that he would be happy to vouch for Löwenthal, too, if Löwenthal was desirous to attend. Löwenthal pushed his chair back from the table.
"I will attend," he said, standing, and moving to fetch a box of matches from the shelf beside the door. "But there's someone else, I think, ought to be present also."
Frost looked alarmed.
"Who is that?"
Löwenthal selected a match and struck it against the door jamb. Thomas Balfour, he said, tilting the match and watching the small flame climb along the shaft.
I believe that his information may be of considerable value to the project of our discussion, if he is willing to share it, of course.
He lowered the match carefully into the sconce above the table.
Thomas Balfour?
Frost repeated.
Thomas Balfour's a shipping agent,
Löwenthal said. He turned the dial to widen the aperture. There was a hiss, and the globe flared orange-red.
He came to you this morning, did he not? I think he mentioned that he had seen you at the bank.
Frost was frowning. Yes, he did, he said. But he asked some mighty strange questions, and I wasn't altogether sure of his purpose, to tell you the truth.
That's just it, Löwenthal said, shaking out the match. There's another dimension to this whole business, and Tom knows about it. He told me this afternoon that Alistair Lauderback is sitting on a secret, something big. He might be unwilling to break Lauderback's confidence, of course. He kept his peace with me, but if I put the matter to him in the context of this assembly, well, he can be the master of his own choice. He can make up his own mind. Perhaps once everyone else has shared his own peace, he might be moved to speak.
To speak? Frost repeated. All right, but can he be trusted to listen? Löwenthal paused, pinching the charred match between his finger and his thumb.
"Please correct me if I am mistaken," he said coldly, "but I understood from your invitation that this is to be an assembly of innocent men, not of schemers or conspirators or felons of any kind."
"That's right," said Frost, "but even so—"
"And yet you ask whether Tom can be trusted to listen," Löwenthal went on. "Surely you are not in possession of any information that might indict you? Surely you know nothing that you would not want to share aloud and freely with a company of innocents united by a common cause?"
"Of course not," said Frost, blushing, "but we still need to be cautious."
"Cautious," Löwenthal said.
He dropped the match into the woodpile and rubbed his fingertips together.
"I am beginning to doubt your better interests, Mr. Frost. I am beginning to wonder whether this is not a kind of conspiracy after all."
They looked at each other for a long moment, but Frost's will was not equal to Löwenthal's. He ducked his head, his cheeks flaming, and nodded once.
"You..."